Yesterday was an unusual day for me. It was a unique day for me. I was teaching an all-day class at the Center for Spiritual Living in Redondo Beach for ministerial students in the science of mind. And it was unusual for two reasons. One is we had a remote learner, which is something that I'd never been engaged in before. And so we watched Dean in San Antonio, Texas, participate in the class, which was great. And we watched ourselves as well because we were on camera. And I learned the two things yesterday. One is, you know how they say that the camera puts 10 pounds on? Well, ministry puts on 60 pounds, and then the camera puts on another 10. I learned that yesterday by looking at myself. But I'd also never spoken for 7 hours about a topic, which is why I wanted to do it, because I hadn't had that experience. I know I can talk for 3 hours, no problem. But a 7-hour day about the Bible was a little bit daunting, and I thought maybe I'll be talked out and I don't have anything to say. Fat chance. Where it places me today is a threshold, really, of understanding it yet again, a wider and a broader place of understanding that for many people, not all are called to a spiritual path, is fine. But for many of us on this planet, it does have a place of importance in our lives. And that there are so many traditions and so many scriptures and so many paths that one can walk while enriching one's spiritual self, that which is not physical, you know, but our psyche, our very soul. And some are very complicated traditions. My goodness, we were looking at the New Testament yesterday, and you know there are 613 laws that God gave to Moses so folks would know how to behave appropriately and how to live a righteous life. And over time, those laws have been simplified, thank goodness. You know, I only have one compound law myself. It's don't hurt nobody and don't eat no dirt. That's, for me, that's all you need to know. You'll be on your own path and you'll be just fine. What I love about our particular tradition, which does indeed have roots in the Judeo-Christian tradition, and frankly, the science of mind is way more Judeo than it is Christian. But what I so love about our tradition is its simplicity. And I like to quote Emily Cady, who was a first-generation New Thought teacher, who said that simplicity is evidence of the most advanced teachings. The simplicity that we embrace, not simplistic, but very simple, is that it is done unto you as you believe, much like the song that Chaz sang. If you believe that it's going to be all right, it'll be all right. Over the long haul, over the arc of your life, if you find yourself in a tough situation right now, if you're somehow between some kind of rock and some kind of hard place, it hurts. I get that. And I'm not going to pretend that there's anything you can say or there's any idea that's going to make something that really does hurt not hurt within the next 60 minutes. But in the great arc that is your life, if you believe that you are inherently good, as the Creator originally said about his creation, he looked at everything and called it good. I'm not going to pick a fight with that scripture. Not me. And so that's a starting place. You're good exactly as you are. And there is good to be experienced in this life. And what kind of good is that? Are there luxury products available to you? Perhaps they are. If you've got the cash money, that's swell. But by good, I mean an outlook on life. A sense that you're okay. A feeling of freedom that whatever it is you truly put your mind to, really and truly, without any excuses, you probably will experience in this life. That you will know peace. You'll know peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace of spirit. You will have a sense of your wholeness. You will recognize that you are enough, more than enough, and have everything available to you right now to take your next step. See, I think we trip ourselves up. We come up with a long-range goal, an idea of what we want or what's supposed to happen, or a healing that we want to experience in our lives, healing of our bodies, of our souls, of our relationships. And we want it, and we want it right now, but we don't often realize that we have to take a first step in that direction. And whatever that step is going to be, you've got what you need to take it. The good that you are seeking is, let's use $10 words. The good that you are seeking will be an emergent property of your willingness to experience it. But that requires dedication. It requires commitment. It requires taking time every once in a while to remember what it is you set out to do in life originally. And are you still on that path? Or did you let yourself get discouraged? Did you talk yourself out of it? It happens. I know. I get it. But my God, whatever it is that you really want to do, well, I'm thinking about Emily Cady again, the woman that I quoted previously, who was the first homeopathic doctor in the United States of America. Yay, Shelley. Let's hear it for homeopaths. Woohoo! But her teaching was, if there is a desire on your heart, assume that it is the world asking for it, and it can only come into the world by means of your life. Why else would it be there? It makes complete sense. And so many of us are wanting things to make sense. Some of us want simple and easy and fast answers. That doesn't bless anybody. But you have a right for the world to make sense. And part of that sense-making will realize that things require many seasons, perhaps, to unfold. That is the way of the world that we live in, the manifested world. But when you bear fruit in its time, it will be good. That's for sure. It will be good. So what is it that is on your heart, huh? And how does your spiritual practice support that? Quite regularly, I say this is different than just coaching. This is different than just good mental health. Spiritual practice will tee you up to then take advantage of all the other tools that you can assemble in your life to help you experience the world in the way that you want to. The spiritual life, the life of awareness, of generosity, of compassion, that life is the foundation. that you build all other things upon. And when that is really solid, any attainment that we get after that is permanent. It cannot be taken from us. That's the promise of living. If I didn't know that by my own life experience, I wouldn't have the nerve to stand up here and say these things. But over time, all good things do happen. And that's what I want for myself, and that's surely what I want for you. Yes, you all want that. We all want that. Every person wants that. And that's what we share. That's why we're all so alike. We can see ourselves in the reflections of other people's eyes. And in that seeing, I know that there is that of God in all. I'm always tempted when I say that to say there's that of God in all, which almost by subtext means, but not me. There's that of God in all. Every one of us. God being the principle, the creative principle that is the universe. That's all. And so how would you like to invoke that God, that principle, that creative essence in yourself? That's for you to know. And with peace of mind and a sense of security in life, a sense of real enoughness, you'll have all the courage that you need to go forward. All the courage that you need. And living life takes courage, yes? Am I the only one that's been scared once or twice in my life? No, okay. Just checking. I know I am from another planet, but I just want to make sure that we share that experience. To say that life is worth living seems kind of like a throwaway. It was the name of a best-selling book, though, in the 50s. I think it was Bishop Fulton Sheen. And it probably was a best-selling book in the 50s because most people probably didn't think that life was worth living. That they experienced it as something that was too hard or too difficult, and depending on the tradition that you were raised in, that you were raised to think that this was a difficult life, that would be one of great pain, but that we would be happy in the by and by. Well, that's not good enough for me. I want to be happy now, and I know that you do too. And again, much like the things we are seeking, happiness is an emergent property. It's nothing you can chase, but it's something that is realized, that we experience when we do our work, when we keep our commitments, when we get to revisit a conversation and think, I probably could say that a little more kindly. May I do that again? All very simple practices, but boy, we have to be grown-ups to do them. And that's what we're here for, to support each other. In the full realization of life lived according to love, life lived according to creative principle. Life lived according to a sense of real, profound security, which can only come from our own sense of inherent worth. There's a part of me that wishes that I could make everybody behave. I've tried that. It doesn't work. They get cranky at me. And then I get cranky. That's not effective. But what I've learned is that the best I can do is clean up my own business and hope that there is some ripple effect in that. And so again, that's why we're here. That's why we come to join in some sense of fellowship and community and encourage each other on our journey, whatever it is you are seeking, wanting, creating, or healing. We stand as a community that supports that. Whatever it is, if it supports your health and wholeness, please do it. I guess I'll conclude by once again saying welcome, new members, into the fellowship that is the center of spiritual living. You know, last week, some of you weren't here, but last week I really did have this realization that the old purpose statement that we had was not nearly good enough or appropriate for what we're doing now, and that my new purpose statement really is focused on this experience, which is human beings coming together for the purpose of recognizing and nurturing the language of the soul so its needs can be met uniquely by human contact, and that we would have some sense of community. And that community is, that's your work, that is your spiritual practice, that is your willingness to show up in an open-hearted and defenseless way on Sundays. And by doing that, you create a great healing. And the rest of it's up to us to teach the truth and to display beauty by means of music and this experience that we create together. I feel that it's important work. And I welcome you into the fellowship of this work, and I will thank you for your support, as well as everybody. I thank you for your support, for your willingness to be here, to realize that this is a healing thing and it's a good thing. God bless you, friends. I'm crazy about you. Thank you.